Welcome to episode 180 of the new NIH Research Radio. The new NIH Research Radio is your source for weekly news and information about the ongoing medical research at the National Institutes of Health, NIH, turning discovery into health. I'm your host, Joe Belinfi, and coming up in this episode, our news summary at the end of the program includes items on a new CT scanner that uses less radiation to get better images. Results showing people with diabetes are controlling their disease better, and insights into alcohol use among teenagers. But first, our feature story. The heart truth and sudden cardiac death. I'm talking today with Dr. Patrice Nickens, a physician and medical officer at the NIH's National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. First, Dr. Nickens, today is a special day. Can you explain?
So the Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute has a national campaign, Heart Truth, that uses the month of February to underscore the importance of heart disease in women. So on Friday, February 1, is National Wear Red Day. And on that day, we encourage women and, men as well to wear red and to demonstrate their understanding that heart disease is the number one killer of women.
I think when most people think of heart disease, they think of a heart attack. Today, I also wanted to talk about a condition called sudden cardiac death because of some study results have been recently published. Is sudden cardiac death the same as a heart attack?
No, sudden cardiac death is not a heart attack. It's sometimes called sudden cardiac arrest, and it's a condition in which the heart suddenly and unexpectedly stops beating. If this happens, the blood stops flowing to the brain and other vital organs. So sudden cardiac death, if it's not treated, will result in death.
What are the risk factors for sudden cardiac death?
So that's directly what this study asks in women. So unlike risk factors for coronary heart disease or a heart attack, if you will, risks for sudden death are less well understood. Nevertheless, the risks for a heart attack or traditional risk factors, such as a previous heart attack, or obesity, hypertension, diabetes, smoking, are associated with an increased risk for sudden death and likely play a role in sudden cardiac death.
Now, this study, which was published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, found some other risk factors for sudden cardiac death. Can you explain those?
So this study also showed the purpose of this study was to show the incidence or how often women actually have this event, sudden cardiac death, and the incidence or cases per 10,000 persons per year of 2.4 was less than had been identified in previous studies. But additionally, to documenting that traditional risk factors are important. This study in postmenopausal women also showed that older age, African-American race, higher pulse, higher hip-waist ratio, elevated white blood cell count, and increase in heart failure were associated with sudden cardiac death.
Do they know why?
So we're better at documenting this kind of study tells you what. And I think further research will help us understand better why. Nevertheless, these findings are extremely important.
Let's go back to those risk factors again. What are they, and is there anything that can be done to control them?
So, as I mentioned, traditional heart risk factors, high blood pressure, smoking, being overweight, physical inactivity, these are risks that are associated with myocardial infarction and sudden cardiac death. I should also mention high blood pressure, diabetes, and high blood cholesterol. These factors are important but are treatable and preventable. So healthy lifestyles, smoking cessation, regular physical activity, low-fat, low-salt diet, maintaining a healthy weight are very essential to reducing these risks. In addition, know your numbers, having high blood pressure, high blood glucose or sugar, or high blood cholesterol are treatable conditions. You should talk about these with your physician, and if they're elevated in spite of healthy lifestyles, there are effective treatments to keep those under control. Maintaining your risk factors, controlling your risk factors, can substantially reduce your risk for sudden cardiac death. Now, some of the other risk factors identified in this trial are of great interest. African-American women being older, elevated hip-waist ratio, higher pulse. Let's talk about race secondarily. These other risk factors, hip-waist ratio, higher pulse rate, elevated white blood count, may suggest that inflammation, that the body is reacting to some irritant, if you will, may be a causal factor. So this would be a new area for us to explore to see whether there are effective ways of reducing this inflammation. Regarding African Americans, even in the context of a study like the Women's Health Initiative study, there is evidence that African Americans tend to be under-recognized and under-treated for traditional risk factors, and that they have multiple risk factors, hypertension, diabetes, overweight, as examples. And if these are under-reported, and in this study these were self-reporting, that may account for why race itself picked up patients that would, or conditions that might have been picked up if their recognition and treatment for these conditions were better. So it certainly suggests that African Americans should try to know their family history and be aware and in control of their risk factors.
One of the things I wanted to touch on is that this particular study is not an NIH-funded study, but it was based on NIH-funded research, the Women's Health Initiative you mentioned.
Yes.
Can you explain how the Women's Health Initiative helped lead to these recent findings?
Yeah, so thank you for the question. It allows two issues to be underscored. One, it's very important for people and certainly women to participate in clinical research and clinical studies. So the WHI, or the Women's Health Initiative, was a large study funded by the NIH to understand three important questions concerning women's health. That infrastructure for that large trial, which was very important in understanding hormone replacement therapy and the effects of vitamin D and or low-fat diet in postmenopausal women, that infrastructure made possible this very carefully, prospectively done study. Using 40 clinical centers, these investigators were able to collect information on over 160,000 patients and follow them for 10 years. So this was greatly facilitated by an existing infrastructure. And through that, we have very important information on the incidence and prevalence of this disease, which affects women and, importantly, results in premature death.
Anything else you'd like to emphasize regarding this study, the WHI, or heart health in general, Dr. Nickens?
So I think it's always important to acknowledge the importance of research in identifying better ways to prevent, identify, or treat conditions. And this is an example of a carefully done study that underscores the importance of healthy lifestyles, understanding not only our risks that we can't change, whether our family have a family history of disease, but also the importance of diet, behavior, healthy lifestyles, and how that can impact favorably on health outcomes, and especially cardiovascular disease.
This echoes what we talked about at the beginning about the heart truth, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Women should recognize that heart disease is the number one killer for women, and that heart disease is treatable, preventable, is something that we really want people to understand and take action. So know your numbers, understand healthy lifestyles and feel empowered to reduce your risks, and it will translate to longer life and better quality.
Thanks to Dr. Patrice Nickens at the NIH's National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. For more information on sudden cardiac death, the Heart Truth, and National Wear Red Day, visit www.nhlbi.nih.gov. And coming up, those stories about a new and improved CT scanner, people with diabetes are controlling their disease better, and alcohol use among teenagers. That's next on NIH Research Radio.
If you could see plaque clogging your arteries, you'd floss them. If you could see a cramped heart muscle, you'd massage it. If you could see a blood clot forming, you'd wash it out. If you could see heart disease, the number one killer of women, you'd see your doctor. The hard truth is, what you can't see can hurt you. Heart disease can lead to heart attack, disability, even death. Don't wait until it's too late. Talk to your doctor, find out your risk, and take action today to lower it. Learn the Heart Truth. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health, National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute.
Now for those recent news headlines from NIH, here's Craig Fritz.
NIH researchers have found that a new CT scanner substantially reduces potentially harmful radiation while still improving overall image quality. Preliminary analysis of data on 107 volunteers undergoing heart scans found that radiation exposure was reduced by as much as 95% compared to current machines, while the resulting images showed less blurriness, reduced graininess, and greater visibility of fine detail. These improvements could help physicians identify problems even in the smallest blood vessels or enable them to conduct complicated tests like measuring blood flow in the heart while limiting radiation exposure. The machine was recently approved by the FDA, though more studies will be needed before the device can be adopted for wide clinical use. More people are meeting recommended goals in three key markers of diabetes control, according to a study conducted by NIH and CDC. The report shows that from 1988 to 2010, the number of people able to meet or exceed the benchmark in all three measures rose from about 2% to about 19%. Each measure also showed substantial improvement, with over half of people meeting at least one of the goals. Despite improvement, the results show continued need for better diabetes control. In particular, young people and some minority groups were below average in meeting the targets. In a random survey of more than 2,500 10th grade students, researchers from NIH found that 36% reported drinking alcohol in the past month, and 28% said they had binged on alcohol. The survey also found that while 80% of students had seen a doctor within the last year, just over half were asked about alcohol by their physician. Doctors often miss opportunities to ask high school age patients about alcohol use and to advise young people to reduce or stop drinking, according to researchers. Previous research has shown that screening and brief interventions by healthcare providers can promote significant, lasting reductions in drinking levels and alcohol-related problems among young adults. For this NIH News Update, I'm Craig Fritz.
You can get more information on these news items at www.nih.gov/news. And we'll have an interview with Dr. Nora Volkov next month with more about alcohol and drug use among teens. But for now, that's it for this episode of the new NIH Research Radio. Please join us again next Friday, February 8th, when our next edition will be available. Coming up in that episode, February is not only American Heart Month, it is also National Marfan Awareness Month.
Marfan syndrome is an inherited disease that affects the connective tissue of the body.
If you have any questions or comments about this program or have a story suggestion for a future episode, please let me know. Send an email to nihradio@mail.nih.gov. Also, please consider following NIH Radio via Twitter @NIH Radio or on Facebook. Until next week, I'm your host, Joe Belinfi. Thanks for listening.
NIH Research Radio is a presentation of the NIH Radio News Service, part of the News Media Branch, Office of Communications and Public Liaison, in the Office of the Director at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, an agency of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.